Okay, Gabby, can we have the attendees, the roll call and the apologies, please?
Yeah, sure. We have Pharmacy CNSO, Martin Boyle, Becky Burr, Keith Davidson, Krista Stein, Eberhard Lisse. We have Cheryl Langdon Orr from the At Large. And we have Jaap Akkerhoes and Kim Davies and Bernie Turcotte from staff and myself. And accept apologies from Bart and Christina, who are both on holidays. I haven't received any. Could be that Christina received some, but I haven't received any.
Okay. I know Suzanne was out of the office most of the day and maybe for the past couple of days, so I wouldn't expect her necessarily. Okay. Our next item is the meeting report from the 7th of July meeting and the draft 17th July meeting report. Do we have comments on that? I'm just going to have to make sure I know how to move through this Adobe screen because I'm still stuck.
I'll make you a presenter, then you can move.
Becky, yeah. Usually you toss that over to me and I'll walk people through the changes.
Okay, hooray. Tossing it over to the substance man, Mr. Turcotte.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Unfortunately, Adobe Connect doesn't support redlining. The redline document was sent out as was requested, and I'll just walk through the changes from my copy so that we're consistent. Excuse me a second here while I get set up. So over here. Get back up there, you. No, come on.
While you're scrolling, should we, as a housekeeping thing, should we maybe think about a minimum quorum that a call must have for future calls?
You know, we've followed the procedure, and I guess it may be informal, that nothing of importance gets decided without two actual calls on the subject, just so that we get more or less convenient time frames for everybody to discuss the subject at least once.
Yeah, yeah, I know that, but usually it's 15 to 18 people on the Adobe, and now it's 7, and one of them is the Adigo. It's not a dial-in, the people from the dial-in, so it's 6. That's what I'm saying. We should look at, say, that we have a minimum number. If we don't get that many people on the call, it shouldn't be worth it. That's what I'm trying to say. We should think about this for future calls.
So I think, yeah, it's an interesting question, although I think that the question might be phrased a little differently, not that we should cancel the call and not go forward, but that we should sort of report out on the call and make sure that everybody who wasn't on the call has an opportunity to voice input, objections, or whatever. But if we, at least my experience with this is, fairly soon into the process, you get a kind of core dedicated group, and a lot of people kind of drop in and drop out but are not, reliably participants in the discussion. And if we waited until we had, two-thirds of the people on the team, we might spend a really long time moving forward. And I'm willing to...
When you are, Madam Chair.
Yep.
Okay, walking through the changes, the title has changed from draft to final. The title for Cheryl been amended to ALAC liaison as she has requested, I believe.
Thank you.
Our next red line coming up, UH has been changed to HM in section 3.6. I will get 3.6 in your version of the document. Oh, I see that that treats red lines really well. In the final version of the document, it's actually correct. Continuing on, the item 6.9, as was pointed out, is not the 12th of October, but the 13th of October. And if I'm correct, that'll look a bit of a mess on here, because again, the changes haven't been processed properly for the legal room. So that's something to remember, I guess, for staff when we'll be working with this. You can't work with a red line document for posting this on the Adigo room. That's the end of the changes as were requested and approved, I believe. So this was just basically to show people that what we've done. I don't know if there are any questions, thoughts, or comments.
Not hearing anybody, and I'm not seeing any hands. Anybody? Okay, Bernie, do you want to move on to the draft 17 July report?
Yes, ma'am. I will try to get to that document.
Something just really weird happened.
Okay, we are now on the first draft of the July 14th document. I'll just scroll through it. I'm not going to read everyone who was there. If there's a problem, let me know.
If you weren't there, let us know.
All right. Meeting report, section 2.1. Cheryl talked about the title. That's been fixed. 3.6 UH instead of HM has been corrected. 6.9, 13 October corrected. 7 July unanimously approved with these modifications. Martin noted it would be more efficient if all modified documents were circulated in red or black line versions indicating changes. That's also been done. So that would complete section 2 unless there are things that I missed or people would like to add.
Any comments? All right, now for the exciting part, on to terminology.
I tried to break down by section so we can find our way through. Agreement consent, we didn't have any discussion. We moved on to section. I'll take it section by section. Is correct, or do we have anyone that has an issue with
the issue?
Yes, I heard a voice.
Whoever just joined the call is an echo.
Ah, okay. Not hearing anything. We'll consider that 4.1 recording is correct. Moving on to section 4.2, AC and TC. Section 423.141, EU definition does not use the exact words of ISO 3166. Kim Davies and YAP will provide BT with the accepted wording. I've circulated that. They have done so, and I've circulated that on the mailing list. And if you want to, I will read you that wording.
Yeah, is Bill D on the line? I don't think so. The wording that you circulated looked okay to me. Maybe you should just walk people through it and see if there are objections.
Yep. Let's see. The new text reads, and you don't have that, so you'll have to put up with my voice. note that the European Union, brackets EU, close brackets, code does not appear in the ISO 3166-1 standard, comma, but is in the list of exceptionally reserved codes maintained separately by the ISO 3166 maintenance agency, period. So, to some people, probably not a significant change, but Yaft is our ISO 3166 expert, and he understands the ramifications when you don't use the proper words. Both him and Kim have vetted those words, so unless there's a significant disagreement, that wording will be inserted in the terminology document.
Any disagreements, comments?
It's Kim here. I have no disagreements, but I can just provide just 30 seconds of background what the distinction is, if you like.
Why not?
Go ahead. That would be perfect. I could do the same, but I think it would be irreverent.
Right. So, you know, a lot of the documents refer to the ISO standard as being the reference as to what is and what is not allowed as a country code. The exceptionally reserved codes are distinct from the ISO standard, and the reason why, you know, Yap and I jump on imprecise wording here is ICANN does not recognize that all exceptionally reserved codes have automatic rights to be a country code. ICANN has never interpreted it that way. So if the language is imprecise and implies that reserve codes are part of ISO 3166, then it sort of opens the door for adding eligibility for, I think, about 20 additional codes that are not presently eligible. So that's why.
Right, and I think that the default has always been the 3166-1 list, but there have, from early on, been exceptions in the form of .UK, for example.
Right.
And .EU is one of those few exceptions.
Well, from the point of ISO, the standard does not contain the reserved list. So if things get onto any of the three reserved lists, it really follows a different, completely different process.
Right. The problem, I think that we have a legacy problem here, which is just...
Yeah, but that's from the point of ISO, I mean, that's a problem for ICANN. That's not a problem for ISO.
I completely agree with you. Fortunately, ISO is very clear about this. But I think we do need to acknowledge that the adherence to the 3166-1 list has been substantial and generally adhered to, and you know, in the vast majority of the times. But there are exceptions to it.
Yeah, and I mean, from the point of ICANN, various explanations, but they depend on what the exception is. So it's why they are there, and it's not because they are on the reserved list.
I think that would be fair. Okay.
Shall we move on, Madam Chair?
Yep.
Okay. From the meeting report, section 3.2.2, section 4242 of the terminology report. When defining the terminal, the technical contact, we skipped inserting individual. That has been done in the version that was circulated to you. Item 3.2.3 in section 42.32.5, as per Bill Semich's comment, the HM will be substituted for .UH. We've already seen some of that. SD will contact.
Which one is which does .UH refer to?
I think it's the US.
There is no UH. It's just
no UH was the problem to begin with. It was meant to be UM, and that was incorrect. we changed it to the code that is actually valid.
Which code is valid?
HM is heard in McDonald Islands, and it's an example of a territory that has no people on it, only penguins.
Oh, right. That's my favorite one. Where you can't have a representative from the registry.
You cannot, unless they're a penguin. Yeah. They always look very smart, but they're actually penguins, not people.
Well, I guess we could delegate to penguins.
Indeed.
All right.
You have to prove a connection to the territory and the inhabitants.
Yeah, and that's always
go and see the new movie.
Happy Feet 2, yes. Stephen Deerhake was to contact Becky for a discussion of the term derelict.
We failed to do that, but I will follow up with him.
He told us on the last call he was going on holidays, so he may only do so when he returns, Becky.
Yeah, I think that the issue with derelict is that within a closed community it has perfect, precise meaning, but in a general population it has a kind of funny meaning.
Yeah, possibly. Are there any additional items or corrections for the record of the discussion of Section 4.2 of the terminology paper? Hearing none, let's move on to Section 4.3, Delegation. General discussion of the proposed definition, which centered around including the procedural aspect as per the GAC definition or not. It was generally agreed that it would be more productive to continue this discussion via the mailing list, which has been done. So that's all we've got for Section 4.3 of the terminology paper. Is there anything to be added for that? Hearing none, moving on to Section 4.4, Interested Parties. 4.4.1 to 4.4.4 did not generate any questions or objections. Section 4451, the definition. I've used WD for Bill D, given that's the official name. Government has been modified to relevant government or public authority as per Bill's comment. Martin noted that this new definition can include parties outside the country. Al noted could not accept the definition of an implied these parties were authorized by this definition to submit a redelegation. Keith noted that this was not the case. These were simply the parties that can be consulted by IAM and when it is investigating a delegation or redelegation request. It was agreed that a note could be added to the definition clarifying this. General discussion of the part of the definition where it refers to delegation, redelegation. There was no agreement if these should be kept or not. Definition should be put in brackets for the moment, noting that it is not agreed. Discussion continued on the list, and that has been put on the list. So that's all we've got for interested parties. I don't know if there's any amendments, modifications.
No, it seems like there's a lively discussion about this on the list, and we should let that continue for a bit.
Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on to 3.5, which is about Section 4.5 Manager. 4.5.1 to 4.5.4 did not generate any questions or objections. Section 4.5.5, the definition. L objected to the use of the term responsible for legal reasons relative to his context. Kim Davies noted that removing this line, this changes the meaning of the term. Additionally, by removing it, the definition then implies that the manager must administer and operate the CCTLD directly, which is not always the case. The discussion should be taken to the mailing list, which is, has been done. Anything to add or change to this section? No. All right, I'll take that as a no. There was the qualifiers. L objected to use of via the AC&TC, which has been very well discussed on the list. Kim noted that IANA, as per its database of TLDs, does not have specific contact information for a manager, which is most often an organization. As such, the contacts between the manager and IANA can only be via the AC&TC unless there are exceptional circumstances. The discussion should be taken to the FOI mailing list, which it has been done. So I don't know if there are any questions or comments relative to the qualifiers for manager.
I mean, this has been discussed on the list, but let's say you have a TLD which is an organization and has two role accounts, but it has got a straight of letter or a accountability framework. There is means of communication.
Eberhard, this is about the meeting report only at this point.
Sorry about that.
If this is a proper recording, then we just say yes and we move. Yeah. So we can beat it to death.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Move on.
General comments. There was a comment from Chris about moving the mailing list and making better efficient use of this time, and I think that the mailing list has generated quite a bit of interest, and so that's good. L noted that he finds it difficult to go through lengthy Word documents, and basically the consultation on the mailing list, we've tried to break it up in manageable chunks. Are those chunks okay for you, L?
Yes, it actually is. I think that worked very well.
Okay, excellent. Glad to hear that. Martin noted that it would be more productive.
You see, the point is the time frame. Keith or the person manager writes something, then I get to work during the whole day, and then when I come home, I'm so tired that I can't really work on it right away, and then the Americans weigh in on the thing. So for somebody who has a day job, it's really difficult to go through these lengthy things consistently. So if you can concentrate on one topic at a time, it's much easier for me to do this in between, and I think it works very well.
Okay, excellent. Becky has not provided the formal documents managing the reports of the ad hoc group. No participants had any other business, and we corrected the time of the October 13th meeting instead of October 12th, and that was the conclusion of the meeting. Madam Chair, I don't believe there are any comments or corrections, and I believe we can call for the acceptance of this.
Okay.
Sorry, can I just say that Stephen Deerhawk had joined the meeting?
Hello, Stephen.
Good morning, everybody.
So,
my apologies
oh,
for
good
being
morning.
Late.
Bernie, guide me on this. Do we have, do we do this by, are there objections? On this call, as opposed to, do we have somebody who will move to accept these minutes?
They're not minutes.
Yes, but we said on small participation, we note it and we discuss it on the next meeting again.
Okay.
So the participants probably don't have an objection, so we just note that and carry on.
Okay. Carry on.
Hi, it's Martin Boyle here.
Hello, Martin.
I had got my flag up, but it doesn't seem to be being registered anywhere. Just a little practical issue. I noted as we were going through the minutes that the references to the paragraph in the current document don't actually always tie up, and therefore it would probably be sensible with minutes to put a specific reference to the document that was under discussion, the version of the document that was under discussion.
Yes, okay, we'll do that.
And maybe when these item numbers that you have got 3.5 and then referring to 4.1. That confused me too. Why don't you, when you make this, refer to only these other minutes, this other numbering, if it's possible?
We can try and do that, yes.
Okay. Should we move on to the terminology version 3.5 paper? Any other comments? Otherwise, I'll turn it over to you, Bernie.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll be working from the old version and not the track changes version, given that Adobe Connect version of the document doesn't treat the red line very well. There were very minor changes, which we discussed in the meeting report.
Bernie, excuse me for interrupting. Can I make a request to whoever is running Adobe Connect to let me in?
I haven't got a request.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either, so.
Could you try to reconnect?
Did you register as a guest?
I came in as a guest, which is what I usually do.
Yeah, I think that's what you have to do.
There.
I got you now.
Great.
You now.
Cheers.
Excellent. So shall we proceed with terminology version 3.5 as per Martin's note of last week and the general acceptance of that? We'll be continuing from where we left off, and we won't be going through from the beginning again. So if you'll put up with me for a minute while we head down the line. We did manager. Operator. We were at operator when we broke up last week, and we did not complete operator, although there's been a very lively discussion on, well, there's been a few comments on the email chat.
Why don't you start from the top on operator so we can...
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Initial and other relevant uses of the term. The first recorded use of the term is in the redelegation of DOJ 2006. The government has been the initiator of the request and actively supports the reassignment. The supporting organization is proposed to be an arm of the government with day-to-day operation outsourced to a competent registry operator. The term operator is used as a synonym for a manager regularly in the IANA document understanding the CCTLD delegation and redelegation procedure. The term operator is not used in RFC 1591 or in the GAC principles 2005. Other terms used, whoa, someone's playing with the...
I'm sorry, it was... do I change it if I make it bigger?
Bad chair. Change it for everyone when you do that.
Okay, well, blind chair.
So how about we keep it there? Is that a good size for you, Becky?
That's okay.
Okay.
Becky's watching Adobe Connect on her telephone. So she's
no, I'm watching it on a Mac, and it's like half of the letters are not there.
Then push on the full screen button.
Yeah, I could do that, but I could maybe like change it for everybody. I'm going to allow Bernie to control this for the moment.
Thank you, ma'am. All right. Any other terms used by IANA in the reference documentation, all the terms that we went through for manager can also be considered. Issues, operators used as a synonym for manager and for the entity which is in charge of operating the CCTLD for the manager. This can lead to confusion. And I won't read you the examples, but I've listed it in 46.3.11 and 46.12. We're proposing that the term operator is useful to denote the party that is operating the CCTLD, but should not be used as a synonym for manager. The proposed definition is operator, the entity which operates the CCTLD for the manager. A manager can be the operator of its CCTLD. An operator cannot be used as a synonym for manager. Qualifiers, manager operator, which denotes that the manager also operates the CCTLD. And that's the totality of that one. If we go to the, I will pull up as a relevant text, what was sent as a report on the mailing list regarding this, which we don't have on Adobe Connect. Manager, several pages of manager. Operator, okay. Hugo, on 15 July, I agree with this submission. Should not be used as a synonym for manager. 18 July, Yap, I fully agree with Hugo on this, especially since operator is often used for functions inside the registry or a registrar, such as name server operator. And then 18 July, Daniel, did not agree with the definition because according to his reading of RFC 1591, the manager needs to directly operate the CCTLD.
I see we have a raised hand here, Mr. Disdain.
Hello. I just have a question or a couple of questions. I may have misinterpreted this, but we'll see. Bernie, this is the purpose of this terminology document is to deal with the terminology that's used around the IANA processes. So what would be IANA's relationship with the operator? Why is it necessary to draw a distinction? And what's it got to do with delegation, redelegation, and all the other stuff that we're dealing with?
The point is the following, is that the term operator is used quite a bit in IANA reports and in the IANA documentation on the procedures for delegation and redelegation. Well, that's okay. But the problem is that it's used as a synonym for manager. And if it was only used in that context, that would be fine. Technically, we could have dealt with it in the manager section and could have said it's one or the other. However, that's not the case because manager operator is used in two very different senses of the word. It's used as manager. It's also used as the operator of the CCTLD for the manager. So if we're cleaning this up, I think we need to clean up the use of the term operator. At the very least, we need to agree that operator is not to be used as a synonym.
Isn't that a simple, straightforward thing to do? If operator doesn't appear anywhere in any of the authoritative documentation, it may or may not do. I'm assuming it doesn't appear in any of the authoritative documentation. Then it simply shouldn't be used. I mean, I'm just concerned about creating what effectively amounts to a new definition of something for no good reason. We don't need it.
Well, we're not creating a new definition. This definition has been around, and we're pointing to references to it. We're just trying to get to agreement to one definition for the term.
But is it in 1591 or the GAC principles?
It is not.
Then, so what?
Has there ever been a delegation issue where the distinction between an operator and a manager has been relevant?
I'm sorry, I missed that, Becky.
Has there been a redelegation or a delegation issue where the distinction between an operator and a manager has been a relevant consideration or a material consideration?
Not to my knowledge. What I have said is that the term operator has been used in two different senses is the major problem.
So it's been used in some cases to refer to the manager and in some cases to refer to a sort of service provider to the manager.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that is none of, as I said in one of my submissions, this is of no relevance to IANA. IANA deals with one entity,
right. And
it says. By the way, it says it cannot communicate with this entity. Now we have an entity that is not listed anywhere. We don't even know how to communicate with it. we don't need. IANA doesn't. IANA that only needs one entity to communicate with. And how the entity then manages its affairs or administers the CCDLD is a local issue. And so I think I agree with Chris totally, and I've said as much on the list. I think we should note that the use of it, and we should avoid use of it in the future.
See, my concern is thanks, El. I agree with that. But my concern is this. My concern is that we're in danger of backward engineering here. Our job is not to find every term that's ever been used in an IANA report and find a definition for it. Our job is to look at the authoritative documents, which, as far as I'm aware, we've agreed are 1591 and the GAC principles, and decide which bits of that, be they words or sentences, need fleshing out to assist IANA / the board of ICANN to make decisions that follow, you know, a line as opposed to making stuff up as they go along. Backwards engineering stuff from terms that are used in other documents isn't part of what we should be doing, is it?
No, but I think Cheryl asks the question that I think is relevant, which is to the extent where we don't want to engage in backwards engineering and we don't want to, I mean, but we do have this word appearing. What is the way in which we say that the relevant party here is the manager and that the operator is not, you know, which may be a separate or may be exactly the same, is not relevant? Do we need to say that?
Can we just say that again?
Using the term?
Can you just say that again, Becky, because I didn't quite grasp what you were saying, I don't think.
I guess the issue is, in our work going forward, do we need to say we should avoid using the term operator because it is not a relevant, you know, however a manager arranges the operations, is that's the manager's choice. For IANA purposes, we deal with the manager.
Yes, I've got no problem saying that at all. I'm just saying trying to define what it means isn't particularly helpful.
Yeah, I think we have, anybody have other comments on that? I think that was Cheryl's point, and I agree with that.
I think we should note the use of the term, and then I propose that we recommend that this term is not used anymore.
Okay. I think we have radical agreement on that.
Kim was going to speak, I think.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, off the top of my head, I think in some of the analysis, I mean, part of when we do a delegation or redelegation request, we're assessing the competency of the, you know, the technical and operational competency of the proposal, and often that involves multiple parties, not just the entity that is being proposed to sponsor an organization, but, you know, as part of their application, they describe the vendors they're using, if they're, for example, a regulator that will outsource operations to a registry company that will effectively run most of it. So I just wanted to push back a little. I mean, I don't have strong opinions as to whether the term operator needs to be formally defined for the purposes of this working group, but I push back a little on whether IANA has any business discussing...
Isn't that a service provider in those cases?
Kim, can I address
Kim's
point?
We don't need this distinction that it's a matter of evaluation of the technique of the proposal. Yeah. We don't need to make this distinction. We don't tell IANA how to evaluate proposals. We say as far as the documentation is concerned, IANA deals with one entity.
I think that's absolutely right, El. Kim, it's not for us registry to satisfy you that they technically that .au is capable of being technically managed. It's for ALDA to satisfy you, and we need to do that if we choose to do that by the use of us registry, that is fine. But it's us that you are dealing with.
That's not the point I'm making. The point I'm making is that in the analysis, I mean, presumably if it's a key part of the proposal that you're using some vendor, that we would want to talk about that vendor in the analysis. And we'd want to refer to it in terms of whether it's the operator in quotes or whether it's some other term. But
the point is they're not an operator. They might be all sorts of things. They could be a service provider under a contract with the manager, all sorts of things. The point is not whether you can, how you refer to, you can refer to them by their actual name if you want to. The point I'm trying to make is that we do not need to define what operator means. It's adding a whole new layer and level to stuff totally unnecessarily.
And I do think it creates...
What prevents me from submitting a proposal which is successful, and the minute it's successful, I change my proposal to somebody else. So, and then it's so... I think I fully agree with Chris. IANA should evaluate the proposals, and I don't tell them how to do their job, because they've been doing that reasonably well, as far as I can see. But as far as the documentation is concerned, you deal with the manager. How the manager manages its affairs, how he subcontracts or conjures or whatever he does, that is not an issue for the documentation. If you're satisfied with the if IANA is technically satisfied with the proposal, the manager is the entity that you deal with.
So I think that we're all in agreement here. I think, Kim, your point is, you know, you need to be able to use a word to describe that function, and I think what everybody else is saying is that the defined term operator implies, you know, authority and relationship to IANA that really is not relevant, so we need to, I mean, you can use the name of the vendor, you can refer to the vendor or the service provider, but the using a defined term operator confuses things.
So, Madam Chair, basically the agreement we've got is to strike Section 4.6, just operator, remove it completely, given we've agreed that manager, we will only use manager, so there's nothing else that needs to be said.
I wouldn't remove it. I would say we note the term, and then we say for the purposes of the deliberations, we will at least, we will only refer to a CCTLD manager as a CCTLD manager, or something to that extent.
Or
it has been used, so
or,
we should note it. We should note it, but if we decide that we will not refer to it, we will not use it any during our deliberations, that's fine.
Right, or just say, you know, going forward, we think using the term service provider or vendor provides a clearer description of the actual function.
No, that's not an issue. That's not an issue for IANA. That's an issue for the manager, and we don't have to refer to it at all.
Well, I think what Kim is saying, and I think this is relevant, is that in the IANA reports, when they're evaluating the competency of a proposal, what if they want to say the service provider that they propose to use is known to be technically incompetent?
Then they can say that they can say that. I mean, they can say that the person providing, or the organiser, I think it's highly unlikely they would say it, but the organisation providing the services or intended to provide the services to whatever is problematic. I'm not sure that I think it's necessary to leave it in or to leave any reference to it in or not, but I certainly don't think we should replace it with alternative words, because that's effectively as good as defining it. And what I'm trying to do is to make sure we don't do more than we should do.
Okay, so what I hear your proposal is to say, this, I'm actually proposing a synthesis here. This term has been used in the past, but given
Becky,
our conclusion that...
Becky.
Yeah?
Before you do a synthesis, we've got two hands up. We've got Martin and Yap.
Okay,
Martin, maybe we should hear them.
Yeah, I just wanted to repeat what I was saying on the mail list. Now, if there's really a need to use the term, you really should qualify it what you mean. Even something generic as a service provider can have multiple meanings. I mean, it might be the database service provider. It might be the name service provider. I mean, if you use a term, you should use you should qualify it, read what you mean, and not just having it so loosely defined, used as it has been in the past.
Okay, Martin?
Thanks, Becky. Sorry, I couldn't find my unmute button on my phone. I actually don't particularly agree with YAP, because if we start down that route, we'll never get to an end of definitions, because there are just so many terms otherwise that could start appearing. If IANA needs to make a reference to the organisation that's providing the back end of a registry in its report, then I think it just has to explain at that particular point what it is that it's dealing with. Certainly I agree with Keith
and
Chris. All right, okay. I agree with both Chris and Eberhard that providing a formal term for a definition for the term operator just is not correct. But I don't think I would particularly welcome the striking of the whole section on operator, but simply make a reference that this is not a defined term, and that it is not a synonym for manager, and that for me would be enough.
Okay, I think that's a sensible approach. Other views on Martin's proposal? I'm going to take that as radical agreement.
So what's the final takeaway from it, Madam Chair?
I believe that the final takeaway is that we don't strike the reference here. We say the operator has been used to refer to, you know, an entity providing the, you know, the back end services. For our purposes, this is not a relevant participant in the discussions in terms of authority.
Okay, right. We'll adjust accordingly.
Martin, do you have your hand raised again?
Yes, I do. I'm not sure I'd actually say it's not relevant, because that's prejudging. Against Kim's point that in a particular judgment having the use of that word might be relevant, but rather that it is not a defined term. In other words, that if IANA, an IANA report needs to make reference to an operator or some other synonym or, you know, back-end provider or whatever, it then has to explain what that term is for the purpose of that report.
Okay, I agree with that, but I guess I think we need to additionally say that while the selection of an operator might be relevant in terms of the authority that passes between, you know, IANA and the CCTLD manager, the operator is not part of that chain.
No, we don't need to do this. I don't know how to say it. This is sort of work product for IANA. I don't want to tell IANA how to evaluate this proposal. They have done this in the past, and they have been very reasonable, as far as I can see, about the technical side of it. So we let them do that. I don't care whether it's a back-end operator or so. The point is, we should not use it as synonym for operator, for CCTLD manager. But, and I agree with Martin, it is best if there is a third party involved in the proposal that IANA should refer to it individually and say that a third party, if they don't want to mention the name, they can say a third party, and then they can use whatever qualification they use for this particular purpose. But the point is, we don't need to define a term operator, because we don't need it for our discussion. This is internal to the evaluation, and we don't need it for our discussion.
So I think the bottom line is it should not be used as a synonym for manager.
Agree.
Okay. I think I'll work that in unless there are other comments on operator.
You got it.
All right. Okay, moving on to the next section, 4.7. Organization as manager, and we're just pointing people back to manager since we've basically agreed that the term manager is the one that's going to be used. Organization is used once in RFC 1591, and that's why it's there. Are we okay with that?
Emergency services have a problem with it, but I'm okay with it.
All right, hearing no comment. 4.8, redelegation.
They're taking somebody to the hospital in the background of somebody's call.
Yeah. Initial and other relevant uses of the term, GAC Principles 2005, redelegation means the change of the person or body responsible for the administration of a CCTLD registry affected by ICANN-IANA upon receipt of an authoritative request. IANA document understanding the CCTLD delegation and redelegation procedure. The terms used by IANA in reference documentation. There is provisional, redelegation, reassignment, and transfer. So RFC 1591 does not refer to redelegation. It talks about transfer. However, our other basic reference document, the GAC Principles 2005, does indeed. So the use of the term redelegation, we should consider selecting it and defining it, given it probably represents our best option. Similarly to delegation, there's the notion of process in the GAC definition, which we have tried to avoid in the other things. So, in 4.8.4, we're recommending the term redelegation is the term used the most in the documentation and is in common use by the CCTLD community. And would that be okay for everyone?
No problem.
All right. The definition is not the GAC definition. It's closer to the delegation definition we had. Redelegation refers to a change of manager for a CC, we're missing the D there, sorry, for a CCTLD listed in the IANA database of TLDs.
I personally think, and I've written this on the list, we should maybe try to split even the definition of redelegation into two parts. So that, because the delegation part of a redelegation is non-controversial. What do you guys think about that?
Al, is this your, it's Chris, is this your reference back to revocation?
No. My point is a redelegation is this.
Sorry, say that again.
Removal of the incumbent, and then once that's...
I can't hear anything you're saying.
These things not the removal of the incumbent and the delegation to a new one is not necessarily, does not necessarily have to be linked to each other. In the sense that the losing incumbent has to give input in the selection of the new one, other than that he is an interesting party, that's what I'm saying. So if we were to manage to split this into two parts, then when we work on the removal part, it's easier to do because the delegation is not really an issue. Once it's accepted by every party, that the party, the incumbent is removed, a new one has to be chosen, and the process for the new one can be the same for whether it's contested or not, because the delegation may be contested, but the contested, this contest is different from the contesting of the removal.
But that so that it is what I just asked you, which is that you are saying that you want to see effectively the two steps, which is the revocation or agreement to undelegate, for want of a better term, and then a fresh delegation. But that may well be so. But the point is that redelegation is simply the redelegation. Which see if you look at the GAC definition. The GAC definition is problematic because it tries to pin a couple of things together, because it talks about the physical change, but it also talks about the authoritative request. That's a different issue. A pure definition of redelegation is simply the change of a manager. So there is an existing manager and there is a change of the manager. I think if you start to worry about if you spin back to the GAC definition, when you're actually adding something to it, which is there is a prior step, which is an authoritative request, then I get why you might be concerned. But a straightforward, bald definition that just says redelegation refers to a change, blah blah, I don't see how that's a problem.
No, I don't have a problem with the definition, but I think when we look at these things, I think it's. I really think not so much for the definition. I can live with the term used in the refers to a change of manager. I can live with it, but it is actually two things. And when we look at these things later, when we look at the content of it, then I think we should look at it from two parts. I don't have a problem with the definition per se.
Okay,
no,
good.
I think that's right. I think that the being consistent with what the working group previously found is that this concept of redelegation is really not there. What we're talking about is first the finding that the current op manager is not appropriate, and then. So I agree with Al on that. That it's a question of the definition, not the term.
If I may add just a comment, Madam Chair?
Yep.
It's probably, the first thing is that we're probably talking about this because we've been talking about unconsented redels. I mean, in reality, in a consented redel, the manager is supporting the redelegation. So my understanding is along the lines of Chris, in that we're trying to come up with a really basic term of what redelegation is, not talking about the process around it. And a redelegation, by the basic definition of RSC 1591, which is one of our two core documents, is that the incumbent manager has agreed. So in that context, I don't think it's any kind of an issue. In an unconsented redelegation, we've marked that territory off as something that we've got to go through in detail. And when we're talking about that, I think this whole notion of revocation delegation probably can come up and will be very pertinent.
Yeah, I just think whatever we do, we should not preclude that distinction in that context, because you're right, it is not material in a consensual, agreed-upon delegation, but it could become significant in other contexts.
Yeah, we don't have to sort this out at definition time. We can sort this out when we go into the meat of the thing. So I can live with, what I'm saying is I can live with, like Chris suggests, I can live with the definition, but when we start talking about our recommendations, then we can look at it.
Yes, and as it's been noted in unconsented redel, we've got a lot of time to deal exactly with that.
Okay.
Any other comments on the definition? I don't see any hands up. All right. We've got a list of qualifiers that seem useful.
They normally write their own check.
And
did
not get any comments on the mailing list regarding some of these. And I would really treat these just as informational as opposed to definitional and authoritative. It's just there is a need within IANA to sort of classify how we're talking about things, but definitely these things are nowhere defined within RFC 1591 or the GAC principles, so they're really just add-ons. And in a final approval, they don't need to be part of that package. They're just add further depth and color, if you will. But some of those things are not simply things that have been made up. If we look at administrative redelegation, it is something that is formally described in the IANA documentation. Kim has provided me with the terms they use for how they classify a redelegation request status as they're processing it. I've tried to include this here. So I would propose that we don't go through the qualifiers in any kind of detail, given that they are not part of the definition. They're simply there to add some reference information when Anna is processing those things. Would that be acceptable?
Works for me.
Works for me.
With me.
All right. So then that would take us over to revocation.
Sorry, I just want to read the qualifiers. I'm at stealth at the moment. Just push it back for a minute.
Yes, sir.
Okay, hang on. It's okay. Okay. Carry on. I just wanted to see that stealth the delegation qualifier. Okay. As you see, these big documents are too big for my attention span.
All right. Any other comments, questions on Section 4.8 before we leave it? Hearing none, seeing no hands, ma'am, I propose to move on to Section 4.9.
Do so.
Okay, revocation. As per the Bill Semish's request of 2 weeks ago, the term revocation has been added. Initial and other relevant uses of the term. It is defined in RFC 1591. In cases where there are persistent problems with the proper operation of the domain, the delegation may be revoked and possibly delegated to another designated manager. As far as I'm aware, that's the only reference. There is no other reference. That's the only reference in RFC 1591, rather. The IANA documentation doesn't talk about revocation, nor does the GAC principles 2005. There are no other terms used in the IANA reference documentation that would seem to mean anything similar or used in a similar fashion. There is no definition of the term. Given we've only got one term and it is referred in RFC 1591, then it would seem fairly obvious that we should use the term revoke. Is everyone okay with that?
In what context, Bernie? In what context should we use the term revoke?
Well, then we should probably go to the definition. Revocation of a ccTLD refers to the removal of a ccTLD from the DNS root and the IANA database of TLDs.
That is not what 1591 says.
Right, because you have to go back to the serious misconduct.
Revocation means taking away of the control of the ccTLD of the incumbent and giving it to another individual.
No, it doesn't.
While keeping it in the root and just changing who is database entries.
Possibly. Bernie, could you please scroll back to the 1591?
Yes, sir.
49491. Okay. So it says, in cases where there are persistent problems with the proper operation of a domain, right, the delegation may be revoked and possibly delegated to another designated manager. Now, in our terms, in the modern world, it's almost inconceivable that it wouldn't be redelegated, but it's not completely impossible. The point here is that this is a very specific term of art which is being used for a very specific purpose. It's being used in 1591 to refer to a circumstance where there are persistent problems and with the proper operation of a domain. In other words, in my view, it is a circumstance where you might remove the management of a ccTLD from a manager without a request from someone else. And the only basis you could do that, the suggestion is if there were persistent problems with the proper operation of the domain.
I agree. Stephen, you've got your hand up?
No, I put it back down.
Oh, okay.
At least I tried to.
All right, well, I'm not fast enough. I agree with Chris that for precision purposes, that if we use the term revocation, it has to be coupled with the notion of persistent problems.
This leaves us with a bit of a conundrum in that what should we use as the term when a CTLD is simply removed from the root as .yu.
That's a retirement.
That's a retirement, but that's not defined in RFC.
Well, it could be a revocation followed by a retirement, right?
That's correct.
Yes. But
Revocation is for cause. Retirement is not for cause.
Correct. Exactly right.
Okay. Yeah, we also need to deal with what would we call when .um was taken away from ISI, still remaining, but was kept in the undelegated in the root or something. Revocation specifically deals with the cases that has never happened yet. Somebody really messes up significantly and causes instability, and then IANA has to step in and to protect the internet. And
yes.
that's nobody really has an issue with that. But this is not for as you said removing it from the root.
All right. So if I'm understanding, we want to couple very strongly revocation with the RFC 1591 definition. I get that from Chris L.
Has never been done. I am quite sure in these times and days, it will not be done. So we just need to define it properly and move on, because it's a non-issue as far as I'm concerned. But we just need to define the term, what it means, so we are complete.
I'm sure we can achieve that with these things. My question to you is the following. Should we attempt to then define... just two notes. The first note is when HM was removed from the root, I believe the IANA report refers to revocation. Kim, correct me if I'm wrong.
You don't mean HM, Bernie.
Oh, whatever.
UM, and you're absolutely right.
UM, and it was referred to as a revocation upon request of the manager.
So what? Doesn't matter. That's just a report that it's being referred to there.
No,
it was incorrectly
I
referred to as a revocation.
There is actions that happen to a ccTLD. There is certainly retirement, and there is this thing that happened to this domain. So,
but my point, Bernie, is if you want to define revocation or revoked or revoke, you just define it by reference to 1591. It's the removal where there is a case of persistent problems, etc.
I agree, and we'll do that. My question to you is, do we want to define retirement? Because it's thing that happens to ccTLDs.
Well, we've got a policy development process dealing with retirement, haven't we?
Yes, and given most of our activity is around redelegations and delegations, retirement's not a big issue. I'm just making sure that if we're going with a strict definition of revocation, that we're not going to be missing anything else. And it does leave the case of the domain that was revoked. We don't want to call it revoked. Is there another word which we could at least suggest in when talking about revocation so that we all understand the same thing?
I don't understand why we need to. I'm confused.
There has never been a revocation.
That's right.
Point. But UM was not, in that sense, a revocation. Revocation is for cause, for technical problems.
No one's arguing
system
that, Al.
Problems.
We've agreed to that.
Sorry?
So what are we arguing
so,
then?
In the case of I would call it retirement.
The usual proposal is put brackets around it, we'll think about it, and move on.
All right, that's fine. So basically, we will go to a hard couple definition, and that will be in the next version.
Circulate it on the mailing list, and then probably will come. To be honest, Bill Semich will, I will ask Bill Semich, because he raised the issue, he must bring the definition.
Yeah, I mean, I know we need to move on from this, but I just want to flag at this point that unless I've misunderstood, Bill has raised revocation in a completely different context, which is in respect to something you must do prior to a redelegation. That is not what the definition in 1591 says, and it's a different issue. I'm not saying it's not worth discussing. It is worth discussing, but it's not what this is about. This is simply about discussing what revocation means and whether we need to provide any depth to it, which I don't think we do.
I agree.
All right. Excellent. So that concludes the terms. And then are there any final points or notes on 4.9? So my takeaway is that we will do a hard coupling to the definition in RFC 1591 and amend that, and it'll be circulated as a red line in the next version of the document. Is that okay for everyone?
Yep.
Yep.
Excellent. The final section of the document is Section 5, the recommendations. We've tried to formulate that in a simple way. 5.1, ICANN and IANA use the glossary developed by the FOI Working Group when communicating about the administration of ccTLD, and we provide the glossary as an annex. IANA should publish the glossary. IANA should develop an open process to seek input from the community for any changes in the glossary. All changes to the glossary should be published by IANA, clearly indicating the changes and the reasons for these. And there's a note, the FOI working group will submit changes to IANA with respect to the glossary as it produces recommendations on various topics. I should add in there if necessary. So thoughts, comments on formulating it this. Hearing none, back to you, Madam Chair.
Okay, I think we are now moving on to another easy topic, consent. I'm going to throw it back over the fence at you.
I'm sorry, I missed that, Madam Chair.
We're now moving on to consent.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. I mean, technically, this completes the first pass, first complete pass of the terminology document. Now, there were comments on the mailing list discussion of some of the earlier topics in terminology, and we might want to close those off. I don't know if we want to do this today or in our next meeting, but we need to decide how we're going to handle the input we received from the email discussion regarding the terms we have not covered.
So those were the
Because we need more input, I think we should discuss, we should read this next time again, because we need more input on a few more issues, and we can deal with the whole thing at one, and don't do half today and half next time.
Here's my proposal is that, Bernie, you sort of work with the input you've gotten tonight from us, or today or whatever time it is, plus the other previous input, and then recirculate a draft. Yeah. We don't have enough. We need to get more people. We need to get this in front of more people.
Yep.
Okay, so the decision is we won't go through the email discussions of the topics that were not covered tonight. The whole emailing list discussion will do another round, and this next round will be updated with what has been brought in at this meeting.
Right, and it will serve as our second discussion of the input both on the first half and the second half.
Everyone comfortable with that? I see Stephen has his hand up.
I'm comfortable with it. This is a procedural question. Given that we're at this point now with this document, I don't remember how we left it, but is it now at a point where it can be circulated to GAC?
I think we're our operating process has been that we don't really reach closure on anything in a single meeting.
That's correct. But there was a point in the procedures that we discussed a couple of meetings back where things would not be circulated by the GAC reps to other GAC members until they had reached a certain stage of fermentation. And my question is whether this has now reached that stage of fermentation.
I mean, to me, it seems like it would be that the answer to that should be no, since we have no GAC representatives on this call.
And we haven't. I think we can wait for the input that we have that we are reading next time, and then I think when we have looked at that, that's the first stage where we can say, okay, we have a draft that GAC can have a look at.
Okay, I think it should be noted for the record that we consider this not ready for GAC distribution. Then, please, so that it doesn't.
No, we don't have. We don't have to put this on record. We're not that formal. The GAC representative can circulate whatever they want under the rules, and I don't think we have to be that formal. It has been always a very informal and very well-organized working group, and we didn't have any issues with that.
No,
I don't think we have to start making formal votes on these things yet.
I'm not proposing a vote. I'm just
Chris, do you have a comment on this issue?
Only to say that I think that we're not... What you're talking about, Stephen, is not the representatives of the GAC sending out stuff to their colleagues saying, here's how we're getting on, tell me what you think. What you're talking about is a formal sending it out to the GAC saying, this document is now ready for your proper comments.
Correct.
And we're not ready for that yet. I don't think there's any question. But I also agree with Eberhard that there's no need for us to formally say that. Otherwise, we're going to have to formally say that every time we have a conversation, every time we have a document. This document isn't agreed yet. There's still some stuff that we need to finalize. Bernie's got to do some rejigging of stuff. So
I agree. It's just that with lack of any GAC rep at this point in time.
It's okay. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Honestly, Eberhard's right. It's okay.
Not a problem.
We know they don't like to attend meetings outside of working hours.
That's why we have two. But I think we're all agreed on the substance here, which is that
I'm also very keen. I'm also very keen not to create almost by mistake a sort of fixed in stone process of the way that the GAC is dealt with. And sort of formal wording around all over the place saying, this document is not ready yet, it's not something I particularly like to see yet.
Right. I mean, I think the bottom line is this document does not reflect input from the GAC. At the very least, it doesn't reflect input from GAC participants.
Well, it reflects input from individuals. I mean, Frank's already sent some input in.
Okay. Do we have further discussions on the terminology? Are we agreed that Bernie will work in the various inputs from tonight and from previously on the beginning sections and recirculate? And we'll try to focus on the remaining open issues in the next call.
Excellent. So I'll republish the mailing list discussion documents in the chunk versions so that they reflect what we've gone through tonight. Excellent. Now, my point is, do we want to start a brand new document at this point?
I don't want to.
Nope.
I didn't.
Well, there's no energy for that one, Bernie.
No, it's 0230 here, so.
Oh, well. It's 0230 here, too, Stephen. All right. Well, we've gone through our first pass, and I think we've done very well. So thank you. I have enough input to keep working. So back over to you, Madam Chair.
Okay, so if we're not going to start the new discussion, do we have any reports from any of the ad hoc group discussions? I can say that we do have from the ad hoc group discussion on property. Any others? Do we have any other ad hoc discussions going on?
Not as far as I know, unless they're just ad hoc.
Right. Could have a million of them. Meeting schedule from now to Senegal. We're still on the two-week cycle, is that correct?
Yes, our next meeting is scheduled for August 4th, 1300 UTC.
Great. Any other business?
I'm sorry, I just missed. I had a call just now. I just missed the whole comment on ad hoc. Was there anything that I need to know about, or can we move on?
A call. The next call is on August 4th at 1300 UTC.
That's it, isn't it?
Yep,
that's it.
Given our next call is 2 weeks away, and we're starting to backlog versus our schedule, should we try mailing list discussion on some of the consent documents?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think that the mailing list discussions in the past 2 weeks have actually been very helpful. And you know,
right.
Well,
I will try.
Got us closer to some consensus or quick.
I will try to chunkify the consent document to see if we can generate some input also.
Okay.
Cheryl here, Becky. Sorry, I think I lost connectivity, so I'm not sure if my hand has gone up or not. I guess we just need to watch, or someone needs to watch, that we're looking to the mail list iterations and discussions as well as typical telco ones, because really those need to be bundled together as they're looking at degrees of consensus, mainly because...
Yeah, but Bernie is doing that.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Yeah, I think that's a specific tasking to Bernie.
Yeah, okay.
Totally agree. Okay, I don't see anybody else's hand up.
All right, then.
Good night, everyone, at 0230.
Thanks, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Bye.
Bye, John Boy.
Good night, John Boy.
Thanks, Becky.
Bye.
Cheers.
Bye.